be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I Facebook. That's a verb now, you know, you Facebook. But I Facebook in two different worlds. In one world, all my friends are cyclists, and they post things about how their ride went that day, what parties they went to last night, complaints about Republicans, stuff like that. In my other Facebook world, all my friends are pastors and seminary students, and they post about different things, like which theological blog post they read that day, what they're going to preach about this weekend, and complaining about Democrats. Now, it wasn't always this way. When Facebook first came out, I lived in one world where cyclists and pastors lived in harmony. But the cyclists would post stuff that was offensive to the pastors. The pastors would post stuff, well, sad to say, that didn't make the church or the gospel look all that appealing to my not yet baptized cycling friends. So a few years back, I committed Facebook suicide, but under peer pressure have now resurrected myself as two different people with two different accounts on Facebook in two different worlds. In one world, I'm a guy who rides bikes, races bikes, a pretty mediocre bike racer, actually, who happens to teach at some place called a seminary where they have a race every November out back here. In the other world, I'm a sem prof, probably a pretty mediocre one at that too, but we don't have races to figure that out, who also happens to ride a bike. Two worlds, two different stories. Now, I know this is against Facebook policy, yeah, sue me, but this is what Facebook does to us. It allows us to create a persona to portray ourselves in ways that we want people to see us, to define our own story about how we want others to see us. We carefully craft these stories, we market ourselves, we create our own little worlds that we let other people see, these little worlds to define who we are. The problem with these little self-created stories, whether on Facebook or on blogs or just the old-fashioned way, is that they are just that, our stories, our self-created stories about ourselves. If someone clicks on your timeline, what do they see? They see you, and 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 you, as far back as has ever existed on Facebook, and everybody else, the entire rest of creation, just kind of fits into your little story. You're the star of the show, you're the center attraction, and everything else revolves around you. Well, today is a day where we remember St. Timothy, a man who didn't need a Facebook account to pump up his self-image. Now, did he? We're introduced to him in Acts chapter 16 when he joins Paul in his work of bringing this new story, the gospel, to Europe for the first time. In Paul's letters, he's mentioned numerous times as a faithful co-worker in Romans and then in 1 Corinthians. By 2 Corinthians, he gets co-authorship acknowledgments. He's given co-author credit in Colossians, in Philemon, in 1 and 2 Thessalonians, in Philippians. I mean, this guy wrote parts of the Bible. Pretty impressive stuff, right? Put that on your Facebook timeline. What's happening, asks the prompt. Oh, today I wrote part of the Bible. See how many likes you get and how many comments you get from the Lutheran pastors. And as if all that were not enough, today we sit in the chapel of St. Timothy and St. Titus. Wow. We even have a stained glass window with, I'm not sure which is which, I was trying to confer with Dr. Gibbs here. We think the one on the left is Timothy because he doesn't have a beard. I'm not sure which is which, somebody could probably tell you. But the guy's in a stained glass window, for Pete's sake. So why talk about this guy? Is all we're here to do to think about how impressive this guy is? To thank God, I guess, for people as great as Timothy? You see, the problem is none of us in this room will accomplish anything close to what Timothy did. None of us will be the first to bring the gospel to a new continent. None of us will have chapels in foreign countries built in our honor. Why talk about Timothy? We can't emulate him. We can't measure up to a guy like that. However much we embellish our Facebook pages, however great our theology is, we will never match Timothy's. So why talk about Timothy? Well, Ashley wrote two sermons yesterday. One to preach today in Timothy's chapel about a saint named Timothy. The other one I'm going to preach Saturday in a church in Michigan. And then we'll go outside to a graveyard next to the church. On all sides around it will be bean fields and corn fields that are dormant for the winter. And then we'll lay to rest my grandmother, Hattie. This is now the second time, right? It's time for Chloe to preach. Time to zap somebody in his family, right? I'm going to send out a warning letter next email to my family member, next quarter to my family members. But you never heard about Hattie, I'm positive, unless you saw my post about her on my Facebook page, of course. You never will hear about Hattie. She wasn't much, really, just a farmer's wife. Milked cows, slopped pigs, fed chickens. She didn't have the Holy Spirit speak to her and tell her to go over there and not to go over there like Timothy did. I mean, after all, she's German, and Germans don't go in for that Holy Spirit sort of thing. Just a mother, a kindergarten teacher, a lover of music, a saint. Yet, as I worked on these two sermons yesterday, they started to sound very similar. One about Timothy, and the other about Hattie. Because whether it's Timothy, or it's Hattie, or it's you, or it's me, it's the same story. It's not a story that we make of ourselves, but the story of God working in Christ and what he has worked in us. You see, our identity is not what we put on our Facebook timeline. Our identity is that we have been brought into the only timeline that matters, that of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, this is what Paul does with Timothy in chapter 6 of 1 Timothy. Did you notice that in the reading? Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and for which you made the good confession. Keep the commandment without spot or blame until the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the right time. You see, Timothy's story is not really his story, it's God's story. It's what God was doing in Christ and in Timothy and through Timothy for the world. And Hattie's story is not Hattie's story. It's what God was doing in Christ for Hattie and through Hattie for the world, even when milking cows and teaching five-year-olds and raising kids. You see, we are not the star of the story. Jesus Christ is. And we have received the same call. We have made the same confession. And we now wait with Timothy and with Hattie and all the saints gone before us for the end of the story, which Christ will bring about at just the right time. We have been called into that story. We make confession of that story. And we live our lives today in anticipation of the end of that story. Our daily lives are not endless random events. We do not need to embellish what people see, hide what we do not want them to see, make ourselves look better or more important. Our lives have value and purpose because our lives have been folded into Christ. All these seemingly useless, nondescript things that we did this morning, which might seem small and trivial, not worthy of a Facebook post, let alone worthy of chapels and stained glass windows, is part of Christ's story. Him building up his body now through us, as we fight the good fight of faith in ways that might seem small and inconsequential, but are his story. Studying for yet another exam, grading another stack of papers, or at least thinking about grading another stack of papers, returning a phone call, keeping the lights turned on, scheduling a room for a meeting, dropping the kids off at school, getting dinner ready. Maybe not worthy of a Facebook post, but all part of the good fight, because they all are part of that grand story, God's story, of what he has done and is doing through his Son in us, all leading up to what he will do on that last day when he returns. And on that day, you might want to check Facebook, for on that day, there will be a status update worth reading. For that day, I cannot wait. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. We stand to confess.